It's going to be an awesome Sunday morning. Holy Ghost Sunday. Amen. We would like, first of all, to welcome all of our guests here. If you have this your first time coming, we'd like to connect with you. In our kiosk, we have an iPad set up. We'd like to have you stop by. We'd like to collect just a couple details of information so we can stay in touch. If you're visiting online, you can also go to the bit.ly link that you see on the screen. It's /connect to CG. And so one of our pastoral staff will follow up with you if you're interested in getting involved at Calvary Gospel or want a Bible study or any other needs you have, we can help you there. We have some giving options today. There's four ways to give at Calvary Gospel Church. Up on the screen, you can see that. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You give in person at one of the offering boxes placed by the doors on your way into the sanctuary. You can give by mail if you'd like to. Or you can also give on the mobile giving app, Church Center. If you don't have Church Center installed on your phone, one of the pastoral staff would be happy to help you get that on your phone. But that helps you also to connect not only in giving, but you can connect to any of our connection groups, our ministries, and also our events and calendars. And so it's a great thing to have on your phone if you are interested in being more involved at Calvary Gospel Church. If you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church, just get the app, okay? We're tired of telling you. I'm tired of telling you. Just get the app, okay? Just do it. Just get it done. Do it, all right? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? This Friday is November 3rd. It's all church prayer at 7 o'clock. And so we're excited to have all of the members of Calvary Gospel Church come together and pray corporately. It'll be at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. It'll be a little bit of worship, a little bit of exhortation, and a whole lot of prayer and meeting with Jesus. Amen. And so at this time, we're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. No other announcements right now, but we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We want to pray that God will have his way in this service, amen, and that the Holy Ghost will be poured out here in just a few moments the way that God wants to do it, amen. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you will touch the service. You touch our speaker, Lord, today. And God, touch all of our hearts, Lord. Help us to be receptive, Lord Jesus, to the Word of God today. Help it to be like a seed that's planted deep in good soil today and just comes to life today, Lord Jesus. We ask you to bless all of our children today that are interested in learning about this party, Lord God. We ask you to just move upon the rest of the service and just have your way, Lord. If you are interested and you'd like to, you can come down to the altar and worship with our worship team. You may be seated if you need to, but feel free to worship the Lord. Amen.
Jesus, power in the name.
There is power in the name.
Jesus, oh my Jesus. Spirit break out. Ghost in this place this morning. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for an incredible Bible lesson, setting the stage for our party. It is so great to have Brother Ben and Sister Vicky here today. Sister Vicky and I talking, I think it's been close to 25 years she's been ministering here. Of course, they moved here. She moved here seven years ago, about this time, 7 years ago. And then, of course, she met Brother Ben, and Brother Ben is awesome. We're going to have him come start this off with just a short testimony, and then he's going to introduce or turn it over to Sister Vicky. But Brother Ben, come share with us. We love Brother Ben, Sister Vicky. God bless you.
Amen. It is so wonderful to be here this morning. Amen. It is so wonderful, amen, to be here this morning. Hallelujah. To be in the presence of the Lord. To feel the presence of God moving. Could we just do something for a minute? Could we just all raise our hands? You feel it? You feel that sweet, sweet presence of the Lord? Could we all just gradually just start lifting our voice in worship? The word hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. You're my King of kings and Lord of lords. Can we just lift our voices loud and let it rain? Let the Holy Ghost, amen. We want God to move in our midst. And the word tells us that he reigns in our praise and our worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One man said in the scripture, if we be a worshiper of God and do his will, that's who he hears. Amen. He lives in our praise and our worship this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. I'm just going to speak just a moment along the lines. You may be seated. Amen. It's just really, really good to be here this morning. I'm just going to speak along the lines of what Sister Vicky is going to. Jesus was speaking to the man named Nicodemus. This man would come to Jesus at night and talk to him. And, you know, first John the Baptist spoke of Jesus and said, this is the man that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus spoke in general to the apostles about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I think it's chapter 16 and 26, how that he said, you know, talked about the Holy Ghost coming. He was sent back the Spirit. Amen. But he got specific with Nicodemus. He just told him like it was. And he told him in verse 5, he said, verily, the word verily means amen. I just want to lay this on you right quick. The word amen means so be it, true, faithful, steadfast. The word amen describes everything that Jesus is. Revelation 3 and 14, Jesus told the angel, said, you tell this church, thus saith the amen, me, the amen, the true and faithful witness. Amen. The beginning of the creation of God, he said, this is who I am. The Lord dealt with me about this word. I studied it out. No one can use the word, and I don't like to have verily in here. It should be amen. That's the original Greek. But no man, from every study I've done, can use the word amen at the beginning of a sentence or a paragraph unless you are the originator of that word. That means, so be it. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and that's what amen covers. So everything that Jesus said, it's rock solid. Amen. So he told Nicodemus here that except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Verily, verily, amen, amen. I say, except a born man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven in verse 3. Verse 5, he says, again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The word cannot is also a rock solid word that absolutely means there is no way. There is absolutely no way that you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again of water and of Spirit. Amen? And that doesn't just mean men. It means women also, of course, kids. But it also means every nationality, every language and tongue, all people. It wasn't just Jews. It's everyone. No man, amen, can enter in except you're born of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus said the Spirit's like the wind. You can't see where it comes from, can't see where it goes to, but you can see where it lifts us. And then he says, and you shall hear the sound thereof. Now, what we're talking about is the new birth, right? Being born again. What's the first thing you listen for when a baby is born? Cry, movement. On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven like what? A mighty rushing wind. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus. And what did it do? It filled all the house. It filled all the people. What they begin to do? They begin to speak with what? There's your sound. And they were what when they came out of the upper room? Drunk. There's your movement. We're just not drunk enough. We should be Holy Ghost alcoholics. We should be Holy Ghost addicted. I am. We should be addicted to soul winning. I have used this right here, and I call it the Jesus and Nicodemus Bible study. And I have seen countless of people that have never heard of this feel the Holy Ghost just like that. Because when I put it to them this way, when we talk about the new birth, it's like a light bulb comes on. Wow, I get it. Amen. I am so proud to be a part of the church, God's people. I am also proud to be a part of this church. I love you guys, and I'm going to ask my wife to come at this moment.
Praise the Lord. There's a lot of excitement this morning in the children about the little table set up here. And I need to tell you the very first question that was on their mind that each one of them tried to ask or ask someone, a few of them asked me, is that a real cake? Well, you don't think I would put a fake cake up there, do you? On Holy Ghost Sunday. This is a celebration today. Do you feel that electricity in the air today? I do. It was like, when you lifted your hands, you're lifting them up into something here, a supernatural happening. This is Holy Ghost Day, and it ought to be the most exciting day of the year. But really, that should be every day in the life of a believer. Amen. Thank you for letting me come back again to minister. 25 years, I think, we arrived on this year. So a lot of you, I've known you for a very long time, and I love you. You're my family. And I give honor today to my pastor. I say that every weekend, every pulpit I'm in, I give you honor publicly. I want you to know that. And honor to my precious husband. It's important for me to have this covering today. Amen. This table is set up for a celebration, for a party. It has a real cake there. Each time I've ever ministered this message, and it has been ministered in Australia, in Guam, in France, in Finland. This has been ministered all over the world and in many churches in the United States. Every time I have a real cake. I want to tell you a little funny story that you'll appreciate. There was an usher group of gentlemen that stood in the front to take up the offering. Now here, we give our offering through the media or out there, but they came up front with the offering bags. And they're also distinguished in their suits and ties, and everyone bows their head to pray. Now they're lined up in front of the table. And I don't know why I'm sitting over here, but in the middle of the prayer, I just opened my eyes. We had our heads bowed and eyes closed while they're praying for the prayer. And I open my eyes and I watch an usher take one finger and go like this. I watched it happen. There's a little kid in all of us today, that something happens when it's exciting and when we see these props up here and it stirs up something in us that it's always there, and that's that little child. Except you become as a child, you'll not enter in. Amen? Today, if you'll stand to your feet one more time, the book of Acts, chapter 2. Talking about Holy Ghost Sunday, this is when the Holy Ghost was first poured out. So it's important that we go here. Acts chapter 2, I'm reading verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the first Holy Ghost party. It's been happening ever since. And everyone can be filled. Everyone needs to be filled. The Lord didn't say on that day, some of you can have it and some of you can't. It was for all of them, men, women, and children, everybody. And so today is the same. It is for everybody. The Holy Ghost is not an option if you want to go to heaven. It's what's going to take us up when he comes. He could come at any moment. So today is the best day for you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the best day for all of us to be refilled and make sure we're ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen? And the Lord can fill you sitting back there. He can fill you up here. He will fill you according to your personality. You will not feel like you're made a spectacle of. It's going to happen so easy today that it would be a shame if you did not receive it. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Today, for your hearing, the message the Lord gave me for you today, a surprise party. Pastor Jerry gave our Bible lesson this morning, and he was all over my message, and I appreciated it so much. A surprise party. You notice when we read in Scripture, as they gathered in that upper room, and they, by the way, were sent there by Jesus himself, he told them to go there and wait for the promise. They didn't know what was in store for them. They didn't know what was coming, but they obeyed. Sometimes you just have to obey. You don't have to understand the Holy Ghost to receive it. I've seen multiple people walk in off the streets led by the Holy Ghost. They said, I just felt like I should come here to church. Through the years, I've seen multiple people that came and they walked straight to the front and got the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. So if you're in the middle of a Bible study with someone, today's your day. If you're at home watching, today's your day right there at home. If you're sitting in your seat today and you're a quiet individual, the Lord can fill you right where you are. Amen. A surprise party. They were sitting there, and the Bible tells us in the first chapter, they were not just looking around going, well, where is it? Where is it? They were praying. That's why we get in the presence of the Lord and we begin to pray. That's why we give an altar call and everyone comes to the front, because they were praying when the Holy Ghost came. Amen. And so that's what we will do today and what we have done today. We've already entertained the presence of the Lord today so beautifully. And so they were waiting for the promise. And the Bible says, suddenly. Now that word suddenly means it was a surprise. They didn't know when it was coming, how it was going to come, what it was going to be like. If I tell you that I am driving home from church to Evansville where we live and a deer comes out in front of my car, I might word it, and suddenly a big deer came out in front of our car, because it was a surprise. And so today, for your hearing, a surprise party. That was a surprise that day when suddenly tongues like fire set on each of them. The wind began to blow in that room. They're describing the supernatural here. That electricity you feel in the air today that you won't feel anywhere else but when you worship. That is that supernatural that happened there suddenly or a surprise. And when that surprise came, they were all filled. They began to speak with other tongues. Children, that means in another language. I was praying with a little child one night to receive the Holy Ghost. And I said, now you're going to speak in tongues. He stopped. He grabbed his mouth. He said, I don't want a whole bunch of tongues. I just want to keep the one I've got. He thought a whole bunch of tongues were going to suddenly appear like a horror movie. That's why we explain that it is the Holy Spirit. It's gentle like a dove. It's precious to us. It's not invasive. It's not scary. When Jesus moves in your heart, you speak in another language. You say funny words you never said before. And you can't do it wrong. Amen. Why a table? Why a birthday? Why use that parable today? Well, because when people walk in the doors of our church at any given service, the Bible says the church is the mother. You and I have come today as the mother. We're a part of this church. What made us apart is we were born again of water and spirit. That's what made us apart. And now we are the mother. We should be setting up this table every time we come. Even though you don't see it when you walk in, you should picture this sitting here, already prepared for those who will come to the table or the altar today to receive their gift. Amen. As always, I'm going to tell you a story. This story happened to me. I was 6 years old. I've told you before, in a family that had two beautiful girls, and those girls were 6 and 12 when I was born. Mom and Dad didn't want any more children. Surprise! Suddenly. And here I was, not a quiet princess, but a handful. And so it is going to be my birthday. I am going to be 7. That's what happens a year after you're 6. I am going to be 7. And I knew what was going to happen. It was very rare back in the day to have a birthday celebration like this, with a lot of presents and decorations. Now it's very common to ask your child, what kind of decorations would you like? What theme party do you want to do? And it's very common, but it wasn't then. I knew what was going to happen. Mom was going to say, what do you want for your birthday? And weeks before, and she would shop, and because she'd have to save, and it would be one thing, a book or a doll or one thing. We didn't get lots of things. We didn't have big parties. But Mom would ask, what do you want for your birthday dinner? Every time I said the same thing. We could have anything Mom made, her famous meatloaf or pot roast. We could have pizza. We could have hamburgers. We could have anything. But every year I said, I want a big plate of homemade French fries with a big puddle of ketchup and a dill pickle. And my mom would say, no meat? My dad would say, can we have some chicken or something? No, just French fries, because they were the real ones. You know, with the skin on, deep fried. And so that was what I had for my birthday. I knew what was going to happen, that Mom was going to bake this cake. It's called devil's food cake. It's chocolate. It's devil's food because it's sinfully rich. She made it from scratch, and she put mock whip frosting on top that stood up in big peaks. She had to put it in the refrigerator so the peaks wouldn't fall. If the peaks fall, Mom would cry and say it was the weather. I remember these things so well. I mean, I'm gonna be 7 in 3 days. I'm so excited. You know how kids are always reminding you of their birthday. I'm so excited because I'm going to be 7. But there's just one little problem. I'm not telling anybody. I'm not mentioning my birthday for one reason. And nobody knows the reason. See, one of my sisters told me that when I was old enough to really hear and walk and talk, started telling me that they found me on a log in the backyard. That they didn't really want me. They felt sorry for me. I was a little tiny baby wrapped in just a blanket laying on a log in the backyard, and they found me, and they said they were going to keep me until I really caused too much trouble or asked too many questions or messed up or whatever. Then they'd take me to the orphanage drop me off. That's funny now, but it wasn't funny then as a little tiny child, because that's how afraid I was to ask too many questions, and I was afraid that I was going to mess up. And I had in my mind, because the devil will tell you if you'll listen, that you're a reject, that you don't fit in, that Jesus doesn't love you, that you'll never belong here, that the Lord doesn't want to give you the Holy Ghost, that you messed up too much. That's the voice of the enemy. I'm here to tell somebody there are no orphans in the house of God. Hallelujah. The Lord loves us just like we are. And he's so full of mercy and love and grace today. And he's just reaching for us. I didn't understand that my mom and dad loved me unconditionally and I really wasn't found on a log. So I didn't ask. And in my mind, I really believed that maybe they weren't mentioning my birthday because that day they were going to take me to the orphanage because I hadn't been real good lately. So I wasn't asking. And mom didn't mention a gift. Mom did not mention birthday dinner. She wasn't baking a cake. I didn't see the potatoes for the french fries in there at all. Nothing was happening. And so I'm really worried. I'm six. I'm going to be seven now tomorrow. And nobody's mentioning my birthday. And so the morning of my birthday, I run into the breakfast table just hoping there's going to be an answer to all of this mystery. There's going to be a birthday breakfast or somebody's going to have something going on. And I'm so disappointed when they say, how would you like your eggs today? And daddy's buttering my toast and no one says happy birthday. We eat breakfast and dad says, I want you to go get dressed and get ready. You're going to the grocery store with me. I got to get some groceries. And I remember how the hope sprang up in my little heart thinking, okay, this is it. He's going to take me and buy one of those fancy cakes. He's going to let me pick out something in that little junky toy section. I'm going to get a paddle ball at least. I'm going to get something. He's going to take me to the grocery store. You see, everybody needs a little bit of hope. There's some folks sitting here today that your life just is not okay. Things aren't going well because we go through winter seasons and go through hard times and there's ups and downs. And even when you're living for the Lord, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's sickness, there's trauma, there's drama. There's all kinds of things that go on. But I'm here to remind you that there is always hope. And our only hope is in that we have an eternity planned, that Jesus is coming back to get us. And until that day, we are to celebrate one thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we come to church. We come to celebrate him. This party today is not about an individual. This is about him. Amen. You ought to get up on Sunday early and excited. Can't wait to get there. Why? Because church, you're the mother. Mom doesn't wake up on the morning of her kid's birthday and say, oh, I wish I didn't have to have this stupid party today for my kid. Mom's excited. Even if she has a headache, even if she doesn't feel good, mom's going to get those decorations out and she's going to make it really good because it's for somebody she loves. And we ought to have that same feeling. If we've lost the love for souls, we need to get on our knees and pray and say, God, I don't love souls like I should. I need you to let me rebirth that love for the lost so that I can't wait to try to win somebody, to tell somebody about you. We go to the grocery store. Daddy goes up and down every aisle. He's taking forever. And he doesn't say, would you want to pick out a cake? He doesn't say, do you want to buy some food for your birthday? He doesn't mention taking me to the toys. He avoids the toys. Nothing. No hope. I'm just devastated. I'm seven today and nobody cares. And we are in the car and we're on the way home and I'm starting to work up a complete meltdown. It's going to be a big one. I have every right and I'm going to even plan it. If you don't know what a meltdown is, you're probably not married. Gentlemen, this is family ministry. I try to help you out. When they come, don't try to stop them. No, the best. Don't ask why. Don't say what's wrong. Don't say that. When the meltdown comes, you put your arms around her and say, you are the most beautiful thing ever when you cry. And just let it go. I'm helping somebody today. I was planning this meltdown. I have every right. I'm 7 today. Nobody cares. They're going to take me to the orphanage later and drop me off, just like my sister said. And so I'm working it up. And when we get home, I'm going straight up that hallway, and I'm going to slam the door so everybody knows I'm having a meltdown, and I'm going to weep and cry. And so we drive in the driveway, and I open that door and that big heavy car door, and I start to go up the walk, and my dad says, grab the groceries. It's 2 bags, a gallon of milk, a pound of bologna, and a loaf of bread. And my dad says, grab those groceries. I'm not just sad, I'm mad. Child labor on my birthday. I grabbed those groceries and now I'm mad. It's going to be a big meltdown because it's going to be a mad, sad one. And I grab those groceries and I stomp up that walk and I kick open the door and I throw those groceries on the floor and I'm just poised getting ready to run down that hallway because I have no hope now. It is my birthday. Nothing is prepared for me. And I start to go up that hallway and I hear, suddenly, surprise! Happy birthday! They're coming out of their bedroom, out of the kitchen. All my friends are there, my church friends, my family, a whole bunch of people. There's a big table set up, and they've had it planned all along. I'm not being taken to an orphanage. It wasn't that they didn't love me. It was that they were going to surprise me. I'm here to tell somebody today that Jesus loves you. He's got a surprise plan for you on Holy Ghost Sunday. He's just waiting to fill you with his spirit, just like he did on the day of Pentecost. A surprise party. You don't have to be all prepared and plan it. Oh no, we're so used to scheduling things and getting them on the calendar. And I have people tell me many times, well, you know, we don't really have people ready for the Holy Ghost yet. They're in their fourth lesson of their Bible study. Oh, phooey. Bible studies are wonderful, but you get up here and get the Holy Ghost before Jesus comes. Let this pastor take you down in the water in Jesus' name. Then finish your Bible study. The Bible studies are excellent, but all you need to do is obey the word. Bible says, except you're born of water and spirit, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You want to go to heaven, children? You got to be born again. You're not going because mom's going. You're not going because daddy's going. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. The Bible said that. Not me. The Bible says it. Amen. Oh, I was so happy. It was my day. It was my day, a surprise party. I never had a surprise party. The table was full of gifts and a great big cake, and they would have been planning it all along. I've only had one other surprise party in my life. We have an ambulance leaving the room. Nobody looks. Keep your eyes up here. It was an ambulance. It's okay. It's a little tiny ambulance. You have attention deficit disorder. It's better if you just talk about it and then move on. Yes, my second surprise party, I was 9. I didn't expect this one either. My mom took me to the door of my Sunday school class, and she put my little hand in Sister Betty's big puffy hand because I was Sister Betty's best helper. When I didn't want to hold Sister Betty's hand, then I got sent to the superintendent's office to watch him count money and take attendance. I was a very, very special helper. Problem was that I had ADHD with hyperactivity and they didn't have pills. And so they didn't know what it was. They taught me self-discipline. The Holy Ghost began to birth the fruit of the Spirit, which brings temperance and self-control. So Sister Betty drags me around the room with her every Sunday. And today she sets me on the front row of the classroom and says, don't get up, sit right there. And she makes an announcement. I have great news, she said. All the kids are going in the sanctuary today. All of us are going to sit on the front rows. We have a special speaker today. I said, oh man, I don't want to go in there. She said, we are all going in there today. Pastor wants us in there. I want to stay in here and glue cotton balls on a lamb. I want cookies and juice. She said, no, we're going in the sanctuary today. She didn't know my biggest fear was because my mom was in there. My dad didn't go to church with us. When he did go, which sometimes he did, if the preacher preached about the Holy Ghost, he got mad because he didn't have the Holy Ghost and he didn't want to admit that he needed it. I don't think there's anybody like that here today, but let me tell you that it's not going to take away from what you already have, your walk with the Lord. Think about Abraham and Moses and all the great people in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Didn't God do great things for them? He was with them. A lot of you, the Lord has been with you for a very long time. I'm talking to somebody at home. The Lord's been with you, but he wants to be in you. That doesn't take away from your relationship with the Lord. It's just more. You tell me there's something in here today that I haven't experienced that's for me, that's essential. I'm going to come running today and receive it because I want it all. Amen? There should be no pride involved in that. Amen. So we line up to go in the sanctuary. My dad's not there. My mom's there, and she's sitting in her regularly scheduled seat. What are you laughing at? Y'all have those too? And I know where she's going to be, and we're marching up the front aisle, and they are singing as they march the children in, and I don't want to see my mom because I know what will happen. My mom's going to look at me. That's all it took was a look. My mom believed in this theory. She said, I'm firm but friendly. Trust me, she was a lot more firm. She probably had to be. We're walking up that middle aisle, and I've got my little head up like this. I'm 9 years old, and I'm not going to look at mom. I made up my mind. I'm not looking her way. But see, what we don't remember is that when babies are born, they have magnets in the back of their heads. Not maggots. Those are worms. Magnets, like refrigerator. Yeah, they have those. And what you don't realize is that your mom has those too. Moms have those. So when I'm walking by my mom and I'm not going to look at her because I know how she's going to be looking, the magnets suck me to her. I can't help it. And when I look at her, there she is. She's got these flared nostrils. Her eyes are bulging. I mean, my mom could make her eyes so big that it was scary. And her eyes are bulging. Her nostrils are flaring. And she's got her teeth gritted. Everybody else thinks she's smiling at me. She's not smiling. Oh, no. They think, what a beautiful smile. Oh, no. She's looking me right in the eyes. And this, she's not moving her mouth, but she says, you better be good or I will kill you when I get you home. That's what the look said. Every mom ought to have one of those. Everybody ought to have a mom with one. You can tell people that never had a mom that did that. Amen. So I pass my mom, and I know I'm going to get killed if I'm not good. So I sat down on the end of the front row right there. And the teacher gives me the look, too. And I'm sitting there with my hands folded in my lap, and I'm trying to be good. But I don't know what they're singing about. And I don't know what they're talking about. And it takes a long time. Church lasts so long. And I'm counting all the panels on the ceiling and all the lights. Most of you know just how many there are. And because I'm so bored. And then finally, they bring the special speaker in. This is why we all came in, because there's a special speaker. And when this speaker walks in, he comes in from a side door, and he walks across the platform, and this man is huge. He sits down in 2.5 folding chairs. I know my mom was scared to death. I'd say, look at him! But I used great self-control that morning. I just thought it. And when that man sat down, I did not stop looking at him, but it wasn't just his girth. It was his spirit. because Brother Billy Cole, the late great, had the most beautiful smile and the greatest laugh. And when he began to speak, it was like the atmosphere began to change. And you could feel anointing when he talked. And even if he was telling something funny, you could still feel a presence and authority that would enter that room. And I sat a little girl listening so closely because there was something happening on the inside. The table was all set up. I couldn't see it, but it was there. And Brother Billy Cole began to tell the children, you're not going to heaven just because you're a kid. You're not going to heaven just because you're good. He told the adults, if you haven't been born of water and spirit, you'll not enter in. You won't go to heaven when that trumpet sounds. If you haven't let Jesus fill you with his spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm listening. I don't understand all this. I'm just a little kid. I don't know all about this, but I'm sure listening. And it wasn't very long until he gave an altar call. And he just had those that wanted the Holy Ghost to sit on the front rows. I'm already there. I don't know whether I should move or what I should do, so I just stay there because I'm already crying. The tears are rolling down my cheeks, and I don't know why I'm crying. Listen, it's always okay to cry in the presence of the Lord. Even big, strong men weep when they pray. That brokenness before God will get you closer to Him than anything. I was just crying and crying. And what I didn't realize, just in a little girl's way, a little 9-year-old girl's way, I was saying, Jesus, I want to bring you something today. See, when you come to a party, you're supposed to bring something. When you get invited to a party and you get an invitation in the mail, you're not supposed to go empty-handed. I'm not talking about your offering today. I'm talking about what Jesus collects. He only collects one thing. It's real easy to give him what he likes, what he loves. He only collects one thing. We came to celebrate him today. So when we come to the table or the altar, as we say, we bring him a gift. I'm sitting on that front row and I'm just weeping and crying. And I'm saying, Jesus, I love you and I want to go to heaven with you someday. And I'm so sorry for the bad things I've done. Please forgive me. The only thing he collects is hearts. Dirty ones, broken ones, bruised ones, shattered ones. Sitting on the end of that front row, the tears rolling down my cheeks. Don't tell me you have to pray a fancy prayer. Oh no, I'm just praying a prayer of a little girl from a little girl's heart. Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry for the bad things I've done. Please clean out my dirty heart. In that moment, I allowed Jesus to go into my heart. He's a perfect gentleman. He won't go in there. He won't receive the gift until you give it to him. I found out that Jesus wasn't like everybody else who was so hard on me in life, who was always correcting me. I found out that Jesus didn't even care what I'd done wrong. He doesn't look in there. If I let you look in my heart, you let me look in yours. We're real hard on each other. You mean you did all that? You better cry some more. So we think that's the way Jesus is. Mm-mm, he doesn't even look in there. He saw us, what we were doing in our sin, in our sinful state, and he loves us anyway. It doesn't matter what you've done today. If you'll just bring him your heart with one sweep of his hand, he cleans all of that out and leaves a clean, empty heart that he can move into. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Bible says he takes away the old stony heart. And he wants to give us a new heart. I'm sitting on the end of that front row. And my hands are raised and I'm not asking for the Holy Ghost. I don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. I knew the preacher talked about it. And I know I heard about it in Sunday school, but I really never thought about it before. I am just simply thanking the Lord. The key to receiving the Holy Ghost is to begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. I was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you cleaned out my dirty heart. Thank you that you forgave me. Thank you, Jesus. And suddenly, sitting on the front row, suddenly, Jesus had a gift for me. The Bible says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, they could have left that out of there. They could have just said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. We still would have been preaching about it. But they put that word in there because the Lord wanted you to know that it's something you don't have to be afraid of. If I told you today that I took all of my money, cost me everything, and I brought this gift for you, I wrapped it all up, and I'm going to come to you after church, and I'm going to give it to you. It's just for you. It cost me everything. You wouldn't turn to your neighbor and say, get me out of here, she's going to give me a gift. So why, when we invite people to the table, do people run out the door? No one should ever be afraid of a gift. Sitting on that front row, my little hands are just raised. You're just poised to receive something when your hands are raised. My little hands were just raised, and I'm just weeping and thanking Jesus. And suddenly, I'm telling you, suddenly, my lip and tongue started wiggling. And I think in my mind, why is my lip and tongue wiggling? I'm not cold. It's like when you go outside, and like this morning, we had a little tiny bit of snow falling. It amounted to nothing, but we had a little snow falling, and it was the first real cold morning at our house, and I walk outside, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish Brother Ben would unlock the door. It's taking him forever to unlock the door. My mouth starts doing that. I'm not getting the Holy Ghost. It's called stammering lips. It's not scary. And when my mouth starts doing that, sitting on the end of that front row, the next thing that happened was strange words came to my mind. Now, when the strange words come, the devil will tell you, don't say those. He'll tell you, this doesn't make sense that you would say those strange words. You don't know another language. The devil will tell you, you're making that up. The devil will tell you, you don't sound like that person that you know that talks in tongues. You don't sound like them. Why are you covering all this? Because it's a question in the minds of people. Listen, you can't do it wrong. You don't have to sound like anybody else. You will hear the voice of the enemy trying to stop you. You'll hear your own flesh telling you it doesn't make sense. But this is supernatural. It's not going to make sense in the natural world. You just open your mouth and you let those words out. I was 9 years old and suddenly I received the gift of a brand new heart. The Lord took away my old stony heart and he gave me a brand new heart. I'm sitting there on the front row and my little hands are shaking and I'm saying words that I never said before. And the angels are lined up. Oh, I believe this. The angels are lined up and they're saying, surprise! Happy birthday! It's your spiritual birthday. 52 years ago. I received this surprise party on a Sunday morning. It was my spiritual birthday. I couldn't wait to tell everybody. Why don't you come and play softly and that'll give people hope. I wanted to tell everybody, but especially I wanted to go home and tell my dad. My dad was sitting at home watching television. My dad didn't come that morning. And I knew what had happened to me, and the joy of the Lord comes with the Holy Ghost. They're going to move this table out of the way for our altar time. We drove in the driveway and I ran in and my dad was sitting in the recliner watching television. I said, Daddy, I got to tell you something, Dad. I jumped up on the arm of the recliner where there was a hollowed out spot where his baby girl sat with her arm around Daddy's neck. Dad was my hero, my best friend. I said, Daddy, you won't believe what happened at church today. All the kids got to go in the sanctuary. I sat on the end of the front row, Daddy. We had a special speaker. And when the speaker talked, I felt Jesus. And I started crying. I never cried for Jesus before, but I did today. And then I just started thanking Jesus for forgiving me for my sins. And Daddy, my lips started wiggling and funny words came to my mind. And I started saying them right out of my mouth. I got the Holy Ghost. Daddy, I spoke in tongues. My dad said, get down off the chair. Get down off the arm of the chair. Go sit over there on the couch. He wasn't happy. He wasn't smiling. My dad started turning the channels on the television. It seemed like it took a long time for him to find what he was looking for. He was looking for the world news. He found a man on the news that was speaking in another language, German or French or Spanish, I don't know. He said, do you hear that man talking in another language? I said, yes, sir. He said, you don't know another language. He said, I don't want to hear any more about this tongue talking in this house. Do you hear me? For just a moment, I stood in a quandary. This is my dad. He wouldn't lie to me. My daddy wouldn't tell me a lie. But see, what dad didn't count on is the moment you let Jesus in your heart, you know it. There was no changing a little 9-year-old girl's mind. In that moment, I stood as tall as a little chubby, freckle-faced 9-year-old girl could stand. And I said, Daddy, I love you, but you're wrong. Jesus moved in my heart. I spoke in tongues. Daddy, I want you to receive it. I want you to go to heaven. I took off running up that hallway before Daddy could say another word. At that point in life, my mama had prayed for my daddy for 18 years. She had suffered through a lot. But always, by her chaste behavior, trying to win my daddy. For 3 months, every day I prayed for my daddy down by my bed. I'd come in from school and go straight to my room and drop to my knees. Jesus, please save my daddy. I remember my mama had to help me with something because I said, Mom, Daddy doesn't love me since I got the Holy Ghost. You know, you may have some family that will turn against you. You may have a spouse who doesn't understand. There's no way they're going to know about this truth if you don't decide, I'm going to live this. You got to live this for the sake of your children, your grandchildren. You watch what God will do. He'll draw those people to Him. Oh, He'll work on them in ways you can't. Yeah, 18 years. Mama, why doesn't Daddy love me? He tells me I can't go to the grocery store with him. He won't let me go in the garage and nail nails into boards. All the things Daddy let me do, now he says, go play. He doesn't want me around. My mom taught me something. She said, oh, baby, that's a great sign. I said, what do you mean? She said, oh, he loves you. That's not it, but he's under conviction. Oh, I didn't know what that word meant. Some of you may not, because we don't use it much anymore. Under conviction means you're miserable because you know you need it. And you know you ought to come to the front today to the table. But if you go out the doors, you're going to be under conviction. And you're not going to even realize it, that the Lord is working on you because you won't repent. Daddy's under conviction. Mom said, we just need to keep praying. Oh, I did. 3 months. I'm in my class on Sunday morning, and I'm learning self-control, so Sister Betty does not have to hold my hand every minute now since I got the Holy Ghost. And I'm sitting in my class. I'm being very good. It's almost the end of class. And one of the teachers went out to take the attendance out, and when she came back in, the service was going on in the big sanctuary like this, and she came back in and said, you know, they're dismissing over there. They're in the altar over there. And then she looked at me, and she said, you. Come here. I was so used to being in trouble all my life that when she said, you, come here, I had learned what to do. You always do this. Didn't work most of the time. She said, I mean you. She said, come with me. I said, what did I do? She said, I said, come with me. We're walking in the church. We're walking up that aisle. We're walking in the sanctuary. She's taking me to my mom, and I don't know what I did. And I'm just about near tears when finally she turns and smiles at me. She says, "Vicki, your mom wants you. Go over there by the speaker over there. Your mom's standing up there in the flowered skirt you see her in front of. The music was playing. The altar was packed." She said, "Make your way through the people. Say, 'Excuse me.'" I said, "Okay." I started towards my mom. "Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm trying to get through all the people." I finally get over to my mom. And I grab my mom's flowered skirt. And I do like this. I said, "Mom, you wanted me." And when my mom turned, I will never forget the look on her face. She had the most big, beautiful smile. But I was so conflicted because the tears were just rolling. I thought, why is mom smiling so pretty? But she has all those tears. They were just rolling down her cheeks. She said, "Oh, baby, I didn't want you to miss this." She pushed me up in the crowd of people that were around someone. There was this big calloused hands, those big broad shoulders that carried me in from the car when I was sleeping, that weather-worn skin from all the work outside, my daddy with that shiny black hair, both hands raised, the tears rolling and speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I promise you, that day, suddenly, the angels were lined up. Surprise! Surprise! Happy birthday! Holy Ghost Sunday. I preached this message here in 2014. And 34 were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Holy Ghost Sunday. Men, women, and children, elderly. If you have never spoken in tongues today, it's going to be so easy to receive it. Don't leave without it. Would we stand to our feet now and try not to cause any confusion by going in and out for a moment? I bind every spirit of man or of Satan that would come against what you want to do right now, Jesus, on Holy Ghost Sunday. If there are any children that have never spoken in tongues, any teenagers, any adults, will you begin to make your way to the front? I'm going to ask them to clear off these front rows, these two front rows right here especially, and I'm going to allow the people to sit down. See how easy I'm going to make it for you. You don't have to stand up here. No one's going to be looking at you. If you have someone with you that's never spoken in tongues, walk up here with them. It's kind of hard to make that long walk by yourself. Would you just picture you're coming for cake? Would you picture you're coming to get a gift? There's a family here that all of you, the Lord wants to fill all of you today. The Lord's not going to fill your children until you make that first step. Time is short. We don't have much time. If you're a daddy or a mommy, just if both of you won't come, one of you come and be the leader of that family. I feel it in my spirit. You need to come today. We're not promised tomorrow. We are not promised another day. Last Sunday, a 93-year-old woman was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? She didn't come. She didn't come. The altar call was given, and I went back and sat down beside her. Altar call almost over. And I said, "Well, how'd I do today, Grandma?" She said, "All right." I said, "Well, would you like to have the Holy Ghost we talked about?" She said, "Not really." I said, "Well, just remember this. You've loved Jesus all your life, right?" And she said, "Oh, yes." I said, "And he's standing here with a gift for you. And he's going to walk away very sad if you won't take his gift." She said, "Well, I reckon I better take it then." She lifted up those gnarly hands. She could hardly lift her arms. She began to cry. In a matter of a couple moments, she was speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They had to carry her, put her down in the water. She wanted to be baptized then in Jesus' name. They took her down in the water in Jesus' name. She came up out of that water, her arms shaking. She lit up, just her countenance was just glowing. It's never too late. 93, last Sunday. Look at all these that need the Holy Ghost. There's still others that need to come. There's some adults that need to come. Is there anybody that has been a long time since you talked in tongues and you like to be refilled? You know what? Every hand in the building ought to be up, because a long time means yesterday. We ought to be talking in tongues every day. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When I give this altar call, the Holy Ghost is going to sweep across this building. So don't leave. You're going to miss it. And if you don't want to come, you can receive the Holy Ghost right there in your seat. Be sure somebody knows about it before you leave so we can celebrate with you. If you are at home, the Holy Ghost is going to move in your living room, your kitchen, wherever you are, and fill you with the Holy Ghost. Say, I already have it. You're going to get it again. Amen. Now, what I would like is, I'd like for all the children that are up here, if you will, just make a giant step like you're coming up here for cake. Let mom and dad or whoever brought you stand behind you. Come on, good leadership right there. All right, good leaders. Mom and dad aren't going to hold hands because you have to stand before Jesus all by yourself. Stand behind them. Come on. Come on, step up here. Come on, step up. Step up. You're doing great. Now, I'm going to lead you through four steps of worship. When I get to the fourth step, the Holy Ghost is going to already move on you. Nobody has to touch you. Look at my face. Nobody has to touch you. Your lips going to start wiggling, and you're going to start speaking out those funny words, okay? All right, everybody in the building, eyes closed. We shut our eyes to close out everything around us. I want you to picture Jesus in your mind. Picture him hanging on that cross. If I bought you a gift today and it cost me everything, you would wait around until I gave you that gift I promised you. This cost him everything on Calvary's cross. He bought you this gift when he died for you. Oh, you're doing so good. The next step is to lift your face, because the devil wants you to hang your head and feel like you're no good. You're not a good kid. You're a bad person, that the Lord doesn't even want you. Can we lift our face all over this building and let Jesus look right into your face and into your heart? You're doing great. That's good, children. Some of you are already crying. That's so good. Jesus loves those tears. Let those tears roll down your cheeks. Oh, that's it. The next step is to lift your hands, because you're saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Jesus. That's it. Lift your hands all over this building. Lift your hands. The altar workers are standing by, getting ready to come and help you. That's it. Your hands are raised. Now the last step is to use your voice. Can we lift our voices all across this building right now? Come on. Enter into his presence now. Come on. Lift your voices. Let's begin to repent. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me, Jesus. Please clean out my dirty heart, Lord. I want to walk with you, Jesus. Come on, all over this building. Let's do it together, because then the Holy Ghost begins to move. Oh, yes, there it is. I begin to feel that wind. Oh, come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's do it. Lift your hands right now. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Go on and speak out the funny words. That's it. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. Church, would you begin to gather in? We need some altar workers, altar worshipers. Come on, gather in. Begin to pray. Create that atmosphere in the name of Jesus. If there's somebody in the seat that needs the Holy Ghost, keep seeking. Somebody's coming to you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Saints and the elders, a glorious song, and the singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old. And I'll stay here forever singing.
Bye. see glorious. I run inside the throne room before you.
Things for a minute because I don't want you to get away before those that have spoken in tongues for the first time come. I want you to stand right up here. One, two, there's another one here. Three, come on. Come right up here on this step. You can be the leader. That's it, Micaiah. There. There you go. All right. Right there on that step. Here, you hold this. Turn around. Don't come up here on the step. Don't dump the Holy Ghost out. Turn around. Hold it up like this, but don't dump it out. Now, big smiles. There's a little girl over here. She needs to come. Come on, right up here. She's still so lost in the Spirit. There's another up here. Come on. Come on. If you got the Holy Ghost today, you come. Wait till they all get here. Somebody ought to have a camera out. We're celebrating. See, this is a celebration church. This is a party. Hallelujah. I want to say a couple things. This young man right here, he's still weeping and crying and shaking. He could hardly talk in tongues for the weeping because he gave birth to his ministry today. Oh, he's going to preach the gospel. Scoot over here. She's over there beside him. Let's get over here. We'll get you in the picture. Is there anybody else? Did you talk in tongues today? Did you say funny words? Because you know it when you do, right? Nobody has to tell you. You know it. This precious girl right here, she was so close. You're just right there. It's going to happen really soon. Anybody else in the building was your first time? Anybody get a refilling? Wave your hand if you got a refilling. It should be as good or better than the first time. Amen? All right. Everybody smile. Look up at the cameras and smile.
Also, we want to make sure that we get all of the information from everyone that received the Holy Ghost. And so I'm excited. My grandson Cole got the Holy Ghost. He's a little nervous this morning, but awesome. And I just want to encourage, if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, don't give up. Don't think, well, it's Holy Ghost Sunday. I was afraid. When I was a little guy, I was pretty shy and pretty bashful, and I got the Holy Ghost at camp. And I came home, and my dad says, "You're getting baptized this Sunday," and I'm like, "Uh-uh." Yeah, you are. And I wanted a private baptismal service. Didn't get it. But congratulations to all of you. And my younger brother, Steve, he got the Holy Ghost at our prayer time at home with our family. So I want to encourage you. Just keep praying. Don't give up. Don't say, well, maybe it wasn't my time. It's your time. It's your time. Just be patient. Let God fill you. Thank you so very much, Brother Ben, Sister Vicky. We have our Spanish service. We'll be starting here in about 25 minutes. So all of you that got the Holy Ghost, make sure we get your, we have a Sister Lindsay's right here. She has a little form we want to fill out so we can get you a new birth certificate. Remember, with Holy Ghost comes baptism. If you'd like to get baptized, just let us know this morning or in the future. Don't wait too long. God bless you. Have a very blessed, blessed day. And we will be here Wednesday evening. Brother Roberto will be our... They'll have our family focus this weekend or this Wednesday. Brother Roberto will be speaking. So God bless you. We'll see you here on Wednesday evening.
Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. take the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.